だって
。隣を見ない一緒に戦う仲間がいる。それで十分じゃねえかよ。
ファイアンドローズワーストクロス。
クゾてめえら！
When you can take the pebble from my hand, it will be time for you to leave.
Ninja, the tea party's over.
Time for you to leave.
Do you know how hard this man works to keep me out of these podcasts?
Every time he speaks, in silence.
Hey, it's time for the Asian Action Cast. We're all here except for Sam. We've got Nathan.
Hey!
Christian.
Yep.
Rachel.
Yeah.
Michael.
Hello.
And me, I'm Scott. How's it going, everybody? Hey, and belated happy birthday to Sam.
Hey!
And Christian.
Yes.
And in the future, Michael and me.
Yay.
Hopefully we'll have another podcast
before. What
about
then? Mine?
Probably.
Far, far future.
That's way, way.
And then Nathan's even further.
And because we're all members of the Sam fan club here, I'm going to put a sample of Sam in about... here.
Mo hang mo human to law.
All right, thanks for that, Sam. So what do we do here at the Asian Action Cast?
Review and revap the best and worst of Asian and Hong Kong and Middle Eastern and, you know, Southeast
Cute.
Asian and, you know,
can you shorten
cinema!
Can you shorten it up to a cooler tagline for us?
No, maybe? I want to be accurate.
That's fair. What do we do here, Rachel?
What he said.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so... we watched a movie that Christian picked because he has birthday privileges. What movie did you pick, Christian?
What was it called? I can't remember.
High
Low, The Worst Cross. No, High and Low, The Worst Cross.
Correct. And that came out in October 2019?
Yes.
So why did you pick this movie? What inspired you to watch this? Did you literally see like a preview or something, or were you just looking up random movies?
Sorry, isn't it from 2022?
Don't know.
There are a lot of these. We could be wrong.
Let me check. Because I've got 2019 here. High and Low, The Worst.
Cross is 2022.
Did we watch Cross, though? I think this is the one we watched, The Worst.
The Worst Cross is the whole title.
Are you sure?
Yes. As a longtime fan and one of the biggest fanboys of this franchise.
He goes to the shows. He gets the sticks.
Yes.
He dances in time.
He's a fan of Choo Choo Train. Exile.
All right. In this podcast here, I'm going to take a pause. And while we figure this out.
Theatre release day is September 9, 2022.
Hey.
It's the seventh original movie of the High and Low franchise.
Of the seventh original movie, okay.
And we're back. And yes, you are correct. High and Low, The Worst Cross, which is a different movie that I had in mind. Sorry, 2022 movie. Last year. Why did you pick
this
movie?
No, not last year. Time keeps moving forward.
Oh, my God.
My God.
That's how calendars work.
Yes, you're right. 2 years ago. Shit. Why'd you pick this movie, Christian?
As a longtime fan of this series, and I just... And honestly, the lead two actors, honestly, whenever I'm in Japan, I'm a really big fanboy. So thought they were awesome. Thought this would be awesome. Thought it was time to introduce some culture into this cast.
Okay, so can you give me a non-bullshit answer?
I liked what I saw and... It was the shortest.
That's fair.
It was it was technically the shortest movie because I know the two people sitting to the left of me have ADD.
Look, it's not that we have ADD. It's that we both work when we do these things after work and we get sleepy.
That's fair. Everything's fair. So this is a two-hour movie.
It's nice. Also, let's be honest. Who doesn't like a bunch of pretty boys beat the shit out of each other?
I'm going to correct you. It's an hour and 59.
So as far as I can tell... High and Low is a series, but the whole Worst thing is a cross between two different comic books called Worst and Crows, I believe.
Okay. I
so I think this movie and the other one is set in the characters from those mangas set in the High and Low universe, I think.
You're correct. Yes.
Ha! I did get it right. So forgive us.
Me, I would have told you.
Forgive us if we are lacking a bit of, you know.
I don't know if XL caring. Fans are as bad as K-pop fans, but we don't mean any insults. Don't come for us.
Well, to quote the podcast...
quote the Raven, nevermore.
Crime and Sports, please find our lack of ignorance charming.
Charming.
Our lack of ignorance.
Our ignorance charming. Our lack of knowledge charming, mate.
Yes,
okay, so before we get into some cast and plot, how would you describe this movie? Pitch this movie to me, Rachel.
1 hour too long.
I wasn't really a pitch. It's more of a like, I don't think I want to take it on
more,
because
more
of this
an
issue.
Accurate statement.
That's some cold hard facts.
Some truth bombs right there.
J-pop band members get together and just fight each other for rights to be on Top of the Pops.
Bancho pretty boys have a good time and look very, very smolderingly at each other.
The opposite of the Barbie movie.
Is it though? Because those Kens are pretty hot.
True.
This is, if you listen to our earlier podcast, there's a bit of a running joke where we go on about how Blue Spring is all talk, no action. This is Blue Spring with the fights.
Yeah. Yeah, they have the same amount of smoldering looks, though.
I feel like Blue Spring actually had a structure.
Did Blue Spring actually have females in it, too?
Not really.
It did have a couple. I'm sure it had one or two. Yeah. I remember. But anyway, it's been so long.
This movie is very handsome, and there's one woman in it, so it's a total sausage fest.
And that was a nurse in the hospital taking care of
it. Weirdly, I don't know who this movie is for. I can't figure out the audience. You know how there's movies where there's four quadrants?
I think it's teenage girls, because the three leads are all in different boy bands.
That's what I'm saying. But exactly what happened to you would happen to them at the end of this movie. No, but you almost fell asleep.
If they love them so much, they'll be awake. But I don't have any,
oh man, it
bias
was like,
for anybody.
I just don't. I kind of, yeah, because I'm like, smoldering looks I get. They're hot boys. I get that. They're fighting. They fight too much for that bit to be the thing. And they don't take their clothes off enough.
Was it their own stupid songs in the movie too?
I think they're all EXILE songs.
Mm. All right,
or
so
EXILE related groups.
For those who don't know, and I'm not an expert or anything, but there's a big hit making machine in Japan called EXILE. And this is spin-off groups such as J-Soul Brothers. And was it Rampage something?
I believe they're called the Funk Soul Brothers.
Funk Soul Brothers, right about now. So there's all these spin-off groups and a lot of... The music is pretty bad and they have a certain look about them. But they're very popular, like Tokyo Dome shows, this kind of thing. Yeah. Quite popular.
Because their main production group is LDH Japan. I'm going to say there's rumors of Yakuza operations, but...
You will like this music.
That's a rumor.
Yeah, I think the Yakuza, if they probably do. You know what I mean? Like if the Yakuza are the Yakuza that is portrayed in media, yes. Yes, they definitely do.
They do business.
Yes. In the entertainment industry, yes.
They're in waste management. So I'm going to go through some of the cast here. So we've got Yuta Nakamoto, Ryoko Miyama, Kazuma Kawamura, Jun Shishon, and Daichi Henry Mikami, who is Rao. He's our one of our main protagonists.
Can I just also interrupt? I just want to add to my point before. They're a bunch of pretty boys, but they're also playing teenagers. They're supposed to be high school kids. These are the oldest fucking high school kids I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's almost like 90210.
Yeah.
You know what? Donnie Yen would like you to hold his beer.
So, yeah, it's pretty handsome. It's pretty stylish. It's pretty slick. Some nice haircuts. Some very high cheekbones. If you're a fan of these bands, you know, and it's not all EXILE and J-Soul Brothers guys, right? You said there was NCT from South Korea. And
Sky
not
High.
Not everybody's in a boy band. Also, I got some wrong info saying that.
I kind of hope that chauffeur was in a boy band.
Fur?
The chauffeur.
Oh,
the old dude.
That'd be funny if he was a weird cameo or something.
Yeah, Inca group. No, no.
He was from the original movie.
He's aged badly.
Well, actually, there is a movie called High and Low from the 60s.
No, there is a High and Low from the 60s, but it's not anything to do with this.
No. I looked it up. I was like, maybe? No.
Who's like, in it?
Isn't it directed by Kurosawa?
Mm. You got a phone?
Is this a Samurai movie?
What? No. It's one of his modern films, I think. I don't have a phone. I specifically didn't put my phone on the table because I'm trying to be interactive.
You have your phone all movie.
Hey, man, there was an hour fucking fight scene where no one was fighting that good. What do you want me to do? Lots of fucking clenching the fist and looking smoldering.
So that High and Low movie came out in 1963.
Is it Kurosawa?
Let me check. Credits.
Director.
You are correct, sir. Kurosawa movie.
There you go.
There you go. So someone give me a bit of a plot here?
Sort of. I kind of want to try. Can I try?
You can try.
So there's a lot of flashbacks that we don't understand because this is the seventh fucking movie.
And it's based on two comics that we haven't read.
That's right. So I'm going to just give you the plot that I can understand. There is a dude. There's a bunch of schools. They fight each other for the title of Sword. They kept mentioning SWORD in capital letters, so I assume it's an acronym for something. I assume like the area's like top school gets to like, I don't know.
Bragging rights.
I don't know. SWORD seems like an actual thing you win.
Can you give me an acronym for SWORD? Can you make one up?
Fuck no.
Okay.
Don't ask for that off the top of my head.
Oh, sorry, just trying to have a bit of fun here.
Yeah, sorry. What's the one from Marvel, Christian? There's a sword and there's a shield. What's the sword one stand for? Let's just use that one.
And I honestly don't. Believe it or not, I was looking at this today and it's just gone completely out of my head. I can't remember what shield stands for.
What about cops or mask? Can you get that? No, you can't because you forget.
I know what. I'm going to bail because I...
Okay, that's fair. He's taking the first... I'm going to go back to the plot, forget about sword. So that you've got your main hero. He's like a... He likes to fight, but he's like an honorable fighter, and that's how he makes friends, is by punching up. And so he's like... He wants to meet a guy called Rao, and so he goes to a school. This is how this thing sort of opens. Actually, it kind of opens with the bad guy beating up a school and taking over, but it's not really... I don't really understand that. It's like, we can look down on people from here or whatever. I don't give a fuck. And
sword... is the acronym attributed to the names of the five different schools.
Oh, shit. That's pretty good.
Okay, thank you.
Could be words. What if it was called words? That'd be a different movie, wouldn't it?
That would be a different movie.
Maybe they fight with words instead. Maybe it's a debate club. Be a better movie.
Objection.
Overruled. So our hero tries to meet this dude. He goes and fights this other school called the... He's from the Oya. And he goes and fights the...
Suzeran.
And he goes and fights him and he earns their respect and they let him leave. And he sees Rao's just walking out because he just wants to meet Rao because he thinks he's a cool bro.
And isn't there like the balls on this guy?
Yeah. So they let him leave. But they're like the swinging dicks, I guess. They seem like the swinging dicks. Am I wrong?
There's like... six tough ones and
a bunch of hangers on.
A bunch of flunkies.
Yeah. So
can I just add in here, yes, like all of these schools are like the worst schools that you've ever seen in your life.
Or the best schools you've ever seen in your life. Did you see the tree? The tree made of bikes?
The tree made of bikes. Yeah. And the pool that was green and obstacle courses and no female students for some reason.
No, they're definitely split into boy and girl schools because they mention a girl school later.
Oh, did they? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Can I make a point about sets? Because they don't have crumbling schools that they can use, I feel like they're just borrowing like brand new schools and then putting panels on them and then graffitiing them all and then putting junk on top of everything. So nothing ever looks really decrepit.
I kind of felt like they used the same school and just changed the colours around when they changed
just
the
set. Just use different coloured plastic on the wall.
I am
going to
go with a different idea. I think there are many, many decrepit schools in Japan considering the population decline. And I think they just bought one and did it to it.
I think they used a set from like a C-grade movie set in quote unquote New York from the 80s, and it's like crumbling walls and barrels on fire, and they like just lit it up a little bit.
Do you reckon like there's many different school movies that I've seen in Japan and the schools all look the same?
That's because the schools all look the same.
Yeah, I reckon on some studio lot somewhere in Japan that builds a school just for as a set piece for
I would assume
stuff.
Especially for all the indoor shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my theory.
It could just be a warehouse. Yeah. Got some paint on
remember
it.
Remember Yakuza Apocalypse and that had like a full out and what was that other one we watched? The Donnie Yen movie, the Fatty Dragon or whatever. They had a good indoor set for
They would have built a whole one there in China. They would have built one.
I guess. Wasn't that half filmed in Japan, though? I think Japan would probably have a studio with just that shit in it because they use it so much.
I think those sets were actually in China.
Oh, okay.
And then I guess, Kabuki. That's what I heard anyway.
So how does he make friends with Rao?
We're going to move that far ahead. Cool.
It's a first scene.
It's a first scene.
No, it's not.
Well, he meets him and says, hey, I want to be your friend.
No,
and
that's the fucking first scene.
It's the first fucking scene.
No, it's not.
It was way after that.
They do the walk past first.
His bro tells him to fuck off.
And then they do all these flashbacks of them telling the mystery legend of Rao.
And they tell it two times. And then he goes to meet him at the
orphanage.
This
is a 6-hour movie. It's pretty much the first scene.
Fair enough too.
Yep. So there's a couple of fights in the beginning. Eventually he meets Rao. They goes, I want to be your friend. And they go, okay, that's nice. Because you know he's a gentle giant, really.
But he's weirded out. He's like, fuck.
No one wants to be his friend. He's scary. He's like Frankenstein.
But remember that I want to be your friend for later.
Yeah, it's important. So as this goes on, the bad guys make their move. They do an organization with two of the other schools. So there's five schools. Sword. They work with two of the schools.
Yep.
They bring them together and then they sort of they ambush them.
One of the schools says no.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And then, yeah, Rao runs the other school. So that makes sense. Yeah.
Three
versus one.
Yeah, yeah. And then...
And it's essentially the...
Hour of fighting.
Essentially, one of the main antagonist is a rich kid who has a flunky with him who's like one of the stronger fighters, whose father is the chauffeur for his Bentley. And he goes through a plot. He's basically a spoiled rich kid who wants to take over everything. And he wants to be the big dick, but has to try and get through Anya. Anya's the only one that didn't want to be part of it.
I don't really understand banjos, man.
So, yeah, long story short, rich kid makes his move. There's a, they have a little bit of success. They decide to capture the leader of Anya.
Oya.
Yeah, that too. And
Omo.
Okay. Just remember that failed console, the Ouya.
What?
Anya.
Ouya.
Not Ouya.
Anya.
Anya, mate. Talk.
Anyway, so they capture him, and a few of the main guys from Ouya get away, and they all regroup, and they decide they want to finish him off. So they say, "We've got your boy in this gym, inconspicuous as all fuck." And they all try to get together, and they make an alliance with the Baldies, who were from the first movie, and all hell breaks loose. And then we have some of the manliest manly moments.
This movie, kind of like Nathan's alluded to, there's like an hour-long fight scene. The tide switches back and forth a couple of times, which is kind of exciting.
It's a siege.
Like, it's like, oh, they're fucking up. Oh, no, there's some reinforce. Oh, no, it's coming back. That's pretty thrilling.
There's also a bunch of other, like, little side things that are going on, but that's not the plot of this movie. That's the plot of the overarching story, I think. There's, like, a character who's in it, and then he comes back. Like, he's in a lot of flashbacks, and he comes back. There's, like, some stuff talked about here and there that's old. There's a lot of other kinds of flashbacks, which you can always tell because they put a sepia tone over things and put like fake film grain on stuff. It's pretty terrible.
So this is all context for the other movies and the books, I take it.
Yes. So what you end up with is a movie that is 2 hours long, probably in the whole total running time, has maybe, I'm going to say, an hour and 15 to 30 minutes worth of fights.
Hell yeah.
Which is not bad. The thing is, the fights aren't great. They're okay.
I mentioned this earlier, but I don't think there was a lot of... there was overall structure to the fights, but I don't think it was well thought out. The only time I ever thought there was a time when it was well thought out, like move for move, is when there was a hole in the wall, one of the guys jumps to avoid an attack in the hole and jumps out of it, like puts his foot in the hole to jump and get a boost out. Kind of like a Jackie Chan moment, but the rest of the scenes were just like just
brawling and stuff, right?
Yeah,
basically. I kind of disagree. I think there's some bits like in the fight scene where they ambush those dudes, like in the parking, like when they're going through the tunnel and stuff, and the main character's like sliding over cars and flipping and getting out of the way of the guys with the brass knuckles. And in the very beginning of that big fight sequence, there's a bunch of people who are like, it has to be really choreographed because they're jumping. They're obviously on wires, so there has to be choreographed. They're jumping and they're getting tackled. It is brawly, but it's not.
I just don't think it's intricate.
No, it's not intricate. People can't do that.
It's brawly. I mean, like I said, they would have had a structure of how they wanted to do it. But if you look at something like, like a Jackie Chan or another prominent martial artist.
I think we're asking too much from these pretty boys.
I think it's stylized in that way. It's meant to be like students brawling, not professional fighters.
Yeah,
it's
ridiculous and over the top.
They're not skilled. They're the best because they can take a punch and they can give a punch and they don't ever back down and they love their friends possibly a bit too much.
Never quit.
I also like how there's about 15 different main characters in this, but not even though they're predominantly in their roles, none of them really are on screen all the time. Maybe the main bad dude, main antagonist, he might get the most screen time, but everybody else sort of gets shared around. There's no real...
I feel like they were trying to introduce as many of the characters from the books as they could.
Possibly.
And maybe that works a little bit against them, but also I kind of appreciate it.
I actually kind of like that. There is no real main character, but I also think that might actually come from... It might come from the books, but it also might come from the way it's using boy band people.
Or maybe the other movies had a bit of shine for, you know.
Yeah, but I also think, like, you don't... Yes, there are stars in those big groups, right? There's bigger, major stars, but there's also, like... If you've got a favorite, you want the favorite to shine a little. So everybody has to take a turn.
Everybody gets a little shine.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of set up Fujio, I reckon, as the main guy in the movie anyway. And he's like one of those stupid people that really likes to fight. And then as soon as he's fought you, you're instantly his friend.
Yeah, he's like a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
He's like a samurai.
If you remember, me and you fought when we first met.
Probably.
No, we did. I remember.
That's how Nathan does it too.
Damn right. Friends
you,
for life.
Beat you up.
Beat your brother up too. He didn't become my friend after because he's a pussy.
What?
I'm just kidding. That's not true. He's not a pussy. He's a nice guy.
Not really. I mean, yeah. What was I going to say? Even though Fujio was set up to be the mayor, he wasn't on screen the most. Like that's what I liked about it. Like he might have been predominant in one scene, but then you'll go to Bowlhead or to just somebody else, the guy with the dreadlocks whose name escapes me, or
the names escape me.
Yeah, or the guy with the glasses who only fought in the last scene.
She's got the names. Rachel has the names.
There's like 30 people. There's almost 30 people on the main poster itself. So
to be fair,
probably could get them the trading cards.
Exile has about 60 people in it, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like if you've got a favorite, you want, and they've got a movie, you kind of want to see your favorite, right?
Sure. Why not?
I do.
Well, it's interesting because to me, the story was building up to Fujio versus Rao, and then they became mates. And then at the end, they kind of go back to the, hey, I'm going to fight you one day, lol, which is fine.
Yeah, but it's going to be a cool fight where they have a beer after.
Hell yeah.
Or maybe in this world, a milkshake.
Protein shake.
Or that weird soft drink they were drinking.
Oh, yeah.
L soda or whatever the fuck it's called.
S
soda?
Something crazy soda or something.
C soda, I think. Yeah.
Taste of a new generation.
That's this movie. See you later, guys.
You drop like
there's a bunch of
off.
There's a bunch of other stories of people in the school sort of fighting with each other and betrayal and power structures and all this shit. And
strangely, no teachers though.
They ran away long ago.
Apparently, it's just like a post-apocalyptic world.
After the art school project with the bicycles and stuff, they probably left.
School holidays.
But the kids, the delinquents are still going to school.
Yeah, this is the thing.
I just don't understand it. I don't get it.
They love their school so much that they want to fight for it.
As one of nature's delinquents, I am. I don't understand the Bancho thing where they're like, I got to represent my school and shit. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't think I ever will. I think it's a media thing, honestly. I don't think it's a real thing. I don't think any actual delinquent was like, I'm going to represent my school. I'm thinking they're like, I'm going to burn the school to the ground.
Would you fight for Coolangub?
Fuck no. Burn that place to the fucking ground. Get your mum out of there first.
Yeah, I was going to say, come on.
Just burn one side of the street.
All right, in terms of the characters in this movie, who is your personal favourite, Rachel?
Me Snorri.
Yeah, your eyelids, you're saying?
Todoroki, maybe? The guy with the glasses.
Yes, glasses guy, me
long,
too.
Long face, glasses.
Yes. Christian?
I'd have to say the bad guy's...
the flunky?
His best friend, the guy, the father's.
What's his name? Suzuki.
What's his
name?
Suzuki?
Suzuki
or Suzuki or something.
Because he's got like, he's in an honor, he's a really hard sell because you know if it wasn't for...
Motherfucker's loyal.
Yeah, he's loyal, but he's also, his dad needs the money. Their family's paying the bills. If his dad wasn't in the picture, you know he might be something different. I know he's got that childhood loyalty, but it's just one of those hard, and I think he's just like...
What you're saying is you love the story of an Aussie battler looking for a fair go.
Everybody loves that story.
Can I just say, like, they have a flashback of that the two bad guys, right? So one's obviously the boss, who's the rich kid, and then his servant's son, who they make him out as friends. But I was trying to work out which way it was with the kids. Was like the fighter one, the one that got beaten up when he was a kid.
Because they transitioned to him, like they zoomed in, right? Thing? Yeah,
yeah.
I got that from the transition. I didn't get that from the way they looked or anything.
I was like looking at it going, which one are they meant to be? Because it's obviously the opposite of what it is now. Because
at the end
that
he
beats
goes,
people up. And,
yeah, at the end he goes, I'm going to get strong and I'll protect Yuko.
Oh, okay.
So,
because normally when they do have a kid version of the actor, they find weird, creepy kids that somehow resemble the actor.
Yeah.
Not this time, though. So your favourite's him?
Yeah, what would have been funny is if they did like the dyed hair with little kids. Let me know what one
but this movie, this movie is not serious, but it is actually trying to play it serious.
A little bit.
There's a lot of people acting really hard. Trying to look like they're acting really
There's
hard.
There's a lot of people's think, hair wigs that are acting really hard.
I actually think everyone in this movie was having a blast. I really did. It, like, as much as people were mugging and doing all this stuff, I honestly reckon they had a blast doing it. I reckon when the director would have been losing his mind, because in between takes would have been joking around and doing a lot of crazy. It'd be like lunchtime on a mine site or something like that.
No, just, in between takes, just put the makeup back on. Touch these highlights back up. Who's your favorite, Nathan?
Ooh, it's an easy one to go with.
Ball cut.
Oh, I like
that's pretty close, answer. Actually. I was thinking either the guy that was with the perm, because he's fun, but I was also actually just going to go that the crazy guy, the strongest number two yeah. from, because he's got crazy eyes.
Crazy eyes, yeah.
Fucking like crazy eyes.
Michael?
Yeah, I was going to go with crazy guy too, actually. Yeah, you took it from me.
You can go crazy.
Yeah, I'll take the perm dude. It's fine. I don't mind.
I'll go with either crazy guy. I didn't mind Rooster Head too, because I have a soft spot for people that have mohawks because they look stupid.
They really have to commit to the bit.
Yeah.
Yours is coming in fine. Thank you.
Yeah, right.
So, on a quote unquote.
Hey.
Yes?
What was yours?
I said glasses.
Oh, okay. All right. Which glasses go?
Guy, you don't see
Todoroki.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, cool.
He's cool. On a technical level, I thought this movie was interesting. Like, they do some pretty good shots, overhead shots and stuff. Not bad.
You know what? For a post-apocalyptic school world, too clean for me.
Bit too clean?
Bit too clean.
The graffiti was a bit too nice. New.
Yeah, it wasn't gritty enough. And, yeah, it needed... It basically looked like they just got a whole bunch of X's with some spray cans and spray canned up the set. Brand new.
You know, I reckon in Fallout I've seen a broom or two, so I'm pretty sure they can clean up after the bomb's dropped.
Yeah. Hey, we're a bunch of delinquents.
But why would you, man?
We're a bunch of delinquents, but we want to keep this place clean.
Well, that's how you get in. If you're level zero, because they're all like year three, year one. If you're just a year zero, your job.
I thought your job would be the opposite. I thought your job would be to throw shit everywhere. Get that trash can. Empty it right here.
Set it on fire.
Set it on fire now.
It reminded me of that Hook movie with the lost kids and they play with colour and paint and throw it everywhere.
Aww.
Yeah, some good camera shots.
Robin Williams is dead.
Some nice transitions. Great hair and makeup. You guys okay?
Sorry, we're just having a moment for Robin Williams.
Show some respect. Pour one out.
Pour one out for Patch Adams' order.
Humor didn't save him.
Music, pretty dreadful.
It won't save us either.
I think the music wasn't too bad. I think a lot of it suited the walk. Whenever they were walking.
I disagree.
You know what? With a delinquent movie, I want heavy metal music.
There is one song they use when they're walking around. It's like a bit of a riff, but yeah. There's a lot of exile-related songs.
Not boy band songs, sorry.
I think that's because their music is always based in like that 90s, early 2000s R&B sound, so it's always going to sound really... trash.
Processed and stuff.
Just sound like really dated and synthetic and just dorky and try hard.
I agree.
I don't really like that sound.
I don't know if they're actually exile songs or whatever, but there were some bits where it was just like Yakuza music, like from the video games, where it's just like a bit of like a guitar sting and a bit of like an electronic beat, and I was kind of all right with that.
To be fair to Christian, there
as soon as I started singing, I wanted to punch myself in the face.
There are some scenes where there's a lot of slow motion walking, dudes with hands in their pockets, and that music's kind of, you know.
Like,
score.
Like the main theme, The Power, which is by The Rampage from Exile Tribe. No, thank you.
We hear that like six times in this movie.
It's like it's like the TMNT theme or something.
P-O-W-E-R.
T-T-R-T-L-E Power.
Yes, that's what I thought of.
I thought of the Ninja Turtles a lot in this movie, actually, while we're watching it. I think I mentioned it like two or three times.
Why do you feel that way? Something about the plot.
Maybe it was subconsciously the music. They're both very 90s-ish.
It's missing like a shredder or a splinter or something.
I lost a sigh, man.
I do want more story about that guy who got out of his Merc and ran the fuck away.
Oh, yeah. Because he's pretty prominent, right?
Yeah, he's like...
Like, without having watched any of the other movies, is the whole story about you reach your peak in your high school years and then it's downhill from there.
Yes.
You just become a scared old man or something.
I think that's exactly what happens because there are no police in this world.
It's a bit deep.
Barely any women.
And all the women just disappear.
So somehow there's a... I can afford a Merc though, so...
There's a scene where a guy pulls up in a Merc and excuse me, and he that's one.
That's eight.
Shut up. Anyway, he gets out. There's a traffic
worried
jam.
About your throat, man.
I didn't even notice until you. Right, Crabbing.
I'm editing this out and sending you a supercut.
Anyway, he gets out and goes through a tunnel. And there's all these cars. What is going on? And just there's like this hill and this crest, and these kids just come walking over with poles and bats and but no knives because you know apparently bat wins over knife or knife wins over bat.
No, knife is a knife. This is why there must be police in this world because like no one's willing to just fucking stab a dude.
The funniest thing is he marches up like a belligerent asshole, like, oh, what's going on? And then he's the first to run when he sees trouble.
Like, oh, God, teenagers, flee!
My insurance!
It's pretty great. And that's kind of it, right?
Like, yeah, I do want to get into the fights a little bit more. I want, especially that last fight, because there's a couple of interesting bits.
It's pretty fucking
bits.
Great.
There's, like, the whole thing is set up like a trap. Like, it's a siege, so... They break through the first boundary. There's a bit where the Baldies get like a ladder and smash through a fence. And then they get into the building, but oh no, it's traps. And they separate everybody with walls. And there's people sliding under like gaps in the walls.
Jump through windows.
They have a thing where they're like, well, trap. They don't say it, which I appreciate actually, is the way they like, they start roping up the good bat, like the good fight, like the good fighters on the protagonist side. They start wrapping them up in rope and pulling them out of the fights so they can't help each other.
But you barely see that. That's a cool thing.
That's fucking cool, man. You don't see shit like that enough in things. I feel like that was, there's sometimes things like that in like fantasy movies and stuff, but not in real fights.
This is one of the main bad guys is, he's got long hair. It's like at the bottom of it's blonde, but he's got black hair everywhere. And he does that crazy high, crazy eye laugh thing.
Can I just say like
that, not ever interrupt me again. I'll destroy you.
No. I just wanted to add a bit to that guy.
Yeah.
He was one of those annoying people in the movie where he's prominent in multiple scenes.
But he doesn't do much.
He doesn't do anything ever.
He earned his paycheck well. He's got the best agent ever. No, he does this thing where he's like he's the only one there. And they're all coming for him. And when these got these portable walls that Nathan was talking about, and he's laughing, and they're about to hit him, and they push the wall in front of him, and he's laughing. They go, "What the hell?" They start blocking everybody off. But he's just got that maniacal laugh, and it's just so cool. Like you don't ever see him get the crap beaten out of him. And I think that's what annoys you the most.
Yes. Yeah, he needed comeuppance.
I don't like that in movies like this. I said it while we're watching. I'll say it again. I'll say it every fucking time I get a chance to say it. If the bad guy doesn't get his shit kicked out of him at the end, I feel bad for all the mooks that did.
Yes.
If he doesn't get it just as or worse than the fucking guys that were under him, it's not right.
That's right.
They should have beat the fuck out of that guy.
That's why the whole close of the movie doesn't feel satisfactory.
Yeah.
Even yes. with the childhood
I don't give a fuck
story.
About any of that.
Then they gave us delivered us some kind of line like what was it about trying really hard or something? Just
yeah, I can't. I wasn't paying attention at that point. I'm going to be honest.
You already fine. No, just joking.
The fight was over. I was bored. But yeah, exactly. Though.
A question for you on that for everybody here. If it ended with him like
that.
That's okay. If the movie ended with go,
I'm not doing it. I was just going to carry on.
If the movie ended with like him being a blubbery, shameful, embarrassing mess, like looking really shitty, would that be more satisfying than
no,
this?
No, I wanted him to fuck someone. I wanted that blonde kid to throw him off the roof.
Yes, but if he was less, I'm just lying on the ground and everything's cool, and he was more like, would that be a bit more satisfying?
No.
No?
No.
I almost like, I thought, you've got this really long, elaborate setup, and you've got the guy that was out of town. And he beat up like the reinforcements.
Statue.
I almost felt like you could have just had him walk into the gym when everyone was finished and just go, is this a guy? And smack him or something at least.
Just one punch
just
or something.
One punch him and one just punch knock him out or something.
Right through the chest.
So at least it, well, even that. At least it felt like he got, some sort of comeuppance. Because it feels like he like absolutely is the total dick through the entire movie and has no comeuppance.
This is a problem we were talking about this as well during, like, this is a problem I have with this friendship is magic shit that happens in all these fucking animes and mangas and stuff.
It's
like,
so true.
They will allow a character to redeem themselves so long as they can find it in themselves to like another person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, sometimes you can't come back from shit.
You have to pay a price.
This is why RRR is so good. because they redeem themselves, they beat the piss out of each other, and the bad guy gets a satisfying death.
Yes. But, like, he does find the power of friendship. He decides to like the person who is employed by him. Wow, fucking good job.
You know what?
You're a human being. Someone break his fucking legs.
Nathan hates empathy.
You know what would have been funny, though? Like, you know how they... So everyone sort of starts clearing off because the fight's all over and stuff. And then he goes and gets in the car and he invites his friend into the car. And the guy's like...
That's my boy.
Like, that's my boy, the butler, the chauffeur. Then it should get surrounded by everyone with the baseball bats and just smash shit out of the car.
Yeah.
That would have been satisfying.
Tips over into a fucking creek.
The other problem, because of the open-ended nature of this series, even though we're at the seventh movie, they're probably leaving the door open so they can bring back another character again.
All right, so Michael just made
I didn't say they had to kill him. They could have just fucking crippled him so he could be an evil genius in a wheelchair. Come on!
Michael just came up with a better ending. What's your better ending? Michael just came up with a better ending.
I did. I just came up with a better ending just then. They cripple him. He's in a wheelchair. Now he's an evil mastermind.
Christian, have you got a better ending?
He has to have
ending?
A cat, though.
Yeah.
I think Hairless. That the better ending for me would have been that the guy, the kid who's employed, the bodyguard, sorry, turned on him and said, no, I'm not going to. He beat him and then he's sitting there going, I won. And he turns around, you didn't win. I won. And then he just belts him on the ground and he's like in shock that this guy's done it. And he hits him two or three more times and he says, say they won. Well, he's like, no, I will never. Boosh, boosh. And then in the end, he's so terrified. He's like, all right, they win. And
that also would have been satisfying.
You know, a random movie that I was just thinking about and when you were saying that, and I was thinking about that Curse of the Golden Flower when Chow... Like the dad beats him with the belt. Just keep him beating his own child to death with a belt. And I was thinking if he just turned
around.
Hey, that
was the Intercontinental Champion belt.
Yeah, he just beats him to death with a belt.
Bit overkill, but great fucking movie. And what happens at the end?
And then like they, because he gave them and Aya becomes the top school. And then you have like the post-credit scene where the other guy comes back and says, you know, now we're going to fight for real. No one watching, just two people. This is it. Kind of like Rocky III.
You
like
want the freeze frame, don't you?
This sounds like the end of Star Wars and Rocky combined. You got a bad ending for me, Rachel?
The entire high school employs into a sinkhole. They build a new school on the grounds of the old one. They turn it into a specialist art school where they only build sculptures out of
the
bicycles and chairs. And there's a Rocky training montage of them learning how to do it.
Hell yeah. My better ending is everybody's about to go down and then Sergio kicks the door in and says like a cool one line, like, I guess you could say, he puts the glasses on, you know, some crappy one line.
Grabs his acoustic guitar.
Yeah. And then there's a fight there or something. But I like that Rachel one. That's pretty good. And then all these girls come and go, ooh, you guys are fighting. And they all get embarrassed and leave. And that's high and low with the worst crow's cross. Worst cross?
Cross.
Crows is the name of the manga.
Cross.
Cross.
Crows.
Gross.
Gross. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Rachel.
10 snores.
It's not a thumb though.
I'm giving this a thumbs up.
You're asking me?
I need your thumb.
Huh? 5 out of 10. The thumbs down.
It's a thumbs in the middle.
Just say thumbs down.
Just say thumbs down. It's fine.
It's not your favourite. We understand.
They can't all be bangers.
Nathan?
Middle erring down.
Michael.
I'm going to go down.
I'm going to go up. This is so ridiculous and so stupid, but overlong and unsatisfying, but still thumbs up.
If they committed that hour fight sequence to being, like, I like the set pieces, but if they had committed to that not being a bunch of, like, people clenching fists and then punching each other and then hitting each other once, I would have been much happier with it. If they'd cut all those bits out, the movie would be half an hour shorter. I'm telling you now, half an hour shorter.
But that's why I was laughing for the whole thing. There's so many close-ups. We're walking slowly with our hands in our pockets. We're going to get angry and stern. It's so ridiculously over the top and stupid. I can't help but laugh at that movie.
You should do a supercut.
They had like a couple of ideas that were kind of fun and you could have played them out. But it was just the lack of comeuppance at the end that kind of pulled me out and going,
I mean, we pushed the remote button to see how long was left. And it's like, this is building to the ending. It's until an hour to go. I was like,
I said it felt like the end of scene, end of act two.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually do think that one of the things that annoyed me about this film, even though I liked it, was that there was inconsistency with these fighters, because these people were getting hit with poles. Like, two or three of them ended up in the hospital, but most people got punched, kicked a lot of times, and we mentioned this earlier, but they're bruising on their face and stuff, but that's it. They're a bit sore, but that was it. Then Rao comes along and goes Super Saiyan, and one kick sends a guy flying into 17 people. He picks up a guy on his shoulders, spins around, throws him like more than Olympic javelin throwers. Like
he what? Nathan?
Spinning lariat.
Thank you.
And it's just like... But then again, you'll have a fight scene at the end where these two guys are fighting each other, putting every punch, every kick into it, and it's like they just sort of like laugh it off. Like there's no. I really would have liked to have seen like a bit more, I don't know, concrete punches or stuff like that. Like you hit with a haymaker and your ribs are busted and you got to, you know. It's...
I'm telling you right now, if people start throwing glass bottles at me, I'm fucking out. Like straight up, I'm leaving. Like, I gotta go. I ain't getting hit by a glass bottle flying at my fucking head.
I would have liked like Sukabon Decker to come and
with a yo-yo.
So is this more Streets of Rage, Final Fight, or Double Dragon?
I actually think this is more
Kunio-kun.
Kunio-kun, yes. River City Rampage.
All right. Any other thoughts about this movie or?
There's four writers credited on this movie. This is probably why it's overlong.
All right, I got one more question for everybody here. One more question for everybody here. Would you be interested after watching this in watching any of the other movies of this series? And granted, this is a separate thing due to the association with the books.
No, but what I am interested in doing is looking up, if you liked this movie, what actual good movies are like this movie? Like, is there a good version of a Bancho with decent production values?
Did you guys watch Crow Zero?
I don't remember.
Maybe not.
But also, like there's a bunch of them, like Volcano High and all those stuff, Samurai High School, things like that. There's a bunch of them. And I would like to get a top 10 list of them because that might be fun. It might be fun to watch all of those from the 70s onwards.
Bebop High School.
I wouldn't mind watching the first of this series just to check it out.
That wouldn't be bad. Yeah, just see how it is.
I'd like to see it just out of blatant curiosity, because if we've got the latest movie, I'd like to see how it's progressed through the other six, because obviously we saw flashbacks in this one of what happened last time.
But I really get that feeling that it's going to be the tide trope, that it's the same thing in every single movie. Like
someone's going to be the top school.
Someone has to do this, and then they have a fight at the end, and then everyone's friends.
That sounds great.
We've got two spare days. It's time for a movie marathon.
Hell yeah.
I got some painting to do, sorry. Warhammer!
Get some glasses.
Then you can be like that dude, yeah.
Yeah, glasses. Well, if anybody's got anything else to say, now's your time. Otherwise, that's the end of the Asian Action Cast.
Not forever. Just for 2 weeks.
We're back in a couple of weeks. High and low.
The worst cross.
You might get it by the time you edit it.
I'll stitch it together. So thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch, it's asianactioncast@gmail.com if you want to email us with suggestions, comments, whatever. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. And that is it. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Konnichiwa.
Donnie Yen would like you to hold his beer.